And now you've had enough.
Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes we forget we're doing a show. Good evening and welcome to Eerie House Radio. Hey, start time kind of snuck up on us while we were chit-chatting, preparing for tonight's show. Good evening. Welcome to Eerie House Radio. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show, no less. Here along with
Dave Binkley from Weirdness Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And we're here along with...
Hello, this is CW from Cyberspace, ready to blast off whenever the word go.
Are you the first woman in cyberspace?
I'll take that as a, yeah, sure, why not?
Okay. Well, you are Eerie House's first lady, so...
The first lady of Eerie House, and that could be an honor or it could be holding you back one way or the other.
Yeah. Probably the latter, but we're not going to admit it. We're continuing our weekend of body snatching. And as it does, body snatching sometimes lends itself to science fiction. And that's right where we're going with a wonderful episode from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Yeah, one of the comments on this one is a science fiction story that's so good it would have been perfect for a Twilight Zone episode. There you go. And you got Phyllis Newman, and mostly known for her stage work, but also did some television in a few movies. And also has one of our favorites, Dale, Hans Conried.
Oh, I love that man. Such a character.
Yes.
Such character voices.
Yep. He's the doctor friend in this one. Yep.
Excellent. And I would imagine he's going to use one of his classic versions of an old crotchety old doctor. And first woman in space, it's called. So not the story of I'm relying on you, CW. What is her name again?
That is the image of Dr. Valentina Tereshkova of the former Soviet Union. She is still alive, and she was the first woman in outer space.
Da, comrade.
Wait. I thought that was Alice Cramden who was the first woman. She went to the moon, right?
Well, Ralph Cramden just couldn't quite make it. Just couldn't
make
it. Actually... Imogene Coca was the first woman in space.
How's that?
Halfway through the season, the only season of It's About Time, the cave people came back to the future.
Oh, that's right.
Actually.
That's right.
I don't remember what her name was on the show, but technically, that would be the first woman in space. Unless the Flintstones made it. I don't know. I don't recall them getting to space.
No. Flintstones, I don't know if the Flintstones did it, but they didn't take Wilma or Betty. So it was still just a guy thing.
Well, they were cavemen, so obviously they're going to tend to be a bit misogynistic, I would think.
You know, and I feel bad. You know, all that caveman stuff they did on there, not once did they ever go talk to Ugg, the inventor.
Nor did they try selling Geico insurance, which I found a disappointment there.
They were busy selling those cigarettes. Which was it? Winston's? Is that what they were trying to sell?
Yes, Winston tastes good, like a cigarette should.
Not that we condone cigarette smoking in any regard. No, we don't.
Yeah, no, probably not a good thing to start. If you haven't started now, I don't recommend it. It is not easy to quit, so I'm not trying. Therefore, because I don't do difficult things.
And just for reference, good old Bob said possibly the first chimpanzee in the U.S. put in space may have been of the female persuasion.
Ooh, now we're going to have the Googling is going... Going on now, because we got to find out. I think it was a guy. Wasn't it Ham? The chimpanzee Ham? Unless the Russians had a chimpanzee go before we did. I don't know.
Didn't the Russians send a dog?
They did.
I don't know.
The dog's name was Laika.
And the reason they sent the dog is because the dog would look out the window and keep barking. So as long as the dog barked, they knew it was still okay.
Try to stick his head out the window.
No, that's...
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Ride, ride, ride. I'm in a surly mood. I'm feeling very mean. I'm going to make my wife cry tonight.
Yeah.
I'm going to make her cry.
Good luck with that.
It's very easy, actually. All I have to do is put on an episode of Lassie. the sentimental tears will come a-pouring.
Oh, yes. And then she sentimentally stands up, wiping the tears, remembering June Lockhart. And June Lockhart, the elemental housewife, she goes in the kitchen, gets a large frying pan, and we see how fast you can run out the door. But that's just my scenario.
I bet she's such a good mom, she could even be a mom in space. And she was.
She could be. I'm sure she could be.
She was, June Robinson.
She was. She was, yes. I guess in one scene in the first season, Billy Mumy was playing his guitar and singing the Greensleeve song. It was a song he knew, and he couldn't understand why June was looking at him so strangely. Yeah. It had been Lassie's theme song, you know?
Yeah. I would have liked to have seen Lassie taking on the B9 robot. That would have been interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Or better yet, Dr. Smith, because I think Lassie had a lot more brains than probably Dr. Smith. Certainly a lot more ethics.
Oh, yeah. Jonathan Harris and Hans Corrin, did they ever work on Lost in Space at the same time? Because that's like Dynamite Nitro, if those two ever worked together.
Who is that other person?
Jonathan Harris, Dr. Smith from Lost in Space, and Hans Corrin, who's in the episode tonight. Those two are so similar.
Yeah.
Hans Corrin. I always mispronounce that gentleman's name. I don't know why. But those two had that wonderful certain something.
I know he was on Gilligan, but I don't know if he made it to Lost in Space. He would have been a great character actor, but yeah, the friction would have been horrifying.
Yeah, I would have been one of those great alien characters, Hans Conry. It would have been.
Ah, he was in 1967 in episode one as Segramante. Oh,
okay.
I'll bet the fireworks were flying.
Oh. Yeah, I'm going to have to look that up.
Because by 67, Jonathan Harris had pretty much a lock on that show.
Yep. He and Will, it was the Dr. Smith and Will show, and the robot.
Yep. Played by Bob May and voiced by Dick Tufel.
This particular episode was written by Victoria Dan, who was the daughter of Sam Dan, who wrote more of these mystery theaters than any other thing. Let me look here and see if I can get a hold of his numbers. But I think the writers, because if you didn't have the writers, you couldn't have the show. I think they made like $300. Sam Dan wrote 438 episodes of the Radio Mystery Theater. That's amazing.
Wow.
And I think you got like $350 per script, which is a lot more than you just get for a short story.
Hmm. He was born in 1917, passed away in January of 1982, known for providing the voices of Walt Disney's George Darling and Captain Hook in Peter Pan, Snidely Whiplash in the Dudley Do-Right cartoons, and Professor Waldo P. Wigglesworth in Hoppity Hooper cartoons, and
a host of
Fractured Flickers, Professor Kropotkin on the radio and film versions of My Friend Irma, and his Uncle Tanoose in Danny Thomas' sitcom Make Room for Daddy, twice appeared on I Love Lucy.
Yeah, wasn't he like Danny Thomas's like uncle or something like that in that show?
I think so.
As I recall watching it, I think he was like his uncle.
Yep, and if you want to see something really cool with Hans Conried, a very obscure film. I'm surprised even some of the horror hosts I've talked to were not familiar with The Twonky from 1953.
Yeah, it's not public domain. That's Arch Obler, and it's not public domain. That's why.
But still, I mean, you know, a lot of us know a lot of the more obscure horror and sci-fi films, but The Twonky just isn't discussed much, and made the same year, featuring Hans Conried, The 5,000 Fingers of Dr. T.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
As per Dr. Terwilliger, or Dr. T.
Wow, this is too educational for one segment, I'm telling you.
He was even in The Miracle on 34th Street in 1955 on TV adaptation. Okay.
No, the TV adaptation, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. In Sleeping Beauty, he was a live-action model for animators to use as a guide for King Stefan and Lord Duke. He did the voice but was uncredited. Thanks a lot, Disney.
Yeah, well, you know, you can't pay the bills on film credits, but you can pay the bills with what they give you to be in it, so.
Yep. Guy really made his rounds. He was everywhere. Oh, I did not realize in Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends he was the voice of Chameleon.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, that's hard to recognize that voice.
Ooh, I had no idea.
Chameleon, cool.
In the 1977 version of The Hobbit, the animated version, he was the voice of Thorin Oakenshield. I'll be darned.
Oh, the Rankin-Bass version of The Hobbit?
Yes. Yes. And here's one for Fogsbane. Hi, Fogs. Welcome for joining us. He was in Kolchak in The Nightly Murders as Mendel Boggs.
That's right. He was he was in charge of the museum that was being turned over to being made into a brewery.
Or a discotheque. Was it a discotheque or a brewery?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think it was some of both, but yeah, discotheque. And
also, Hogan's Heroes as Major Bonicelli.
I remember that, yes. I do remember that.
Yeah. Good stuff. That guy was everywhere, and what a great voice, and what a great treat.
Even in 6 episodes of the CBS Radio Mystery Theater. Just being
One of them. It's a real treat tonight with a very good story Dave has selected for us to wrap up our body snatching weekend. First Woman in Space, CBS Radio Mystery Theater. And it's from
June 13th, 1977.
Hello, Americans, I'm Paul Harvey. You know what the news is. In half a minute, you're going to hear the rest of the story.
Now, there's more fun than ever for everyone who plays the New Jersey Numbers Game. More fun because now there are 2 Numbers Games. In addition to the daily Jersey Numbers Game, this one is a once-a-week drawing called Pick 4. It's called Pick 4 because you pick 4 numbers. And when you pick 4, you get a chance to win more. Available at any picket agent.
You got a macho that stands out when you walk down the street, that's one thing. But when your macho stands out in the United States Marines, that's something else again. His first day in boot camp, they nicknamed him Siwash. Nobody remembers why. But that nickname stuck with him through World War II and throughout his tour of the South Pacific. That's what they called him, Siwash of the 2nd Division. And on shore leave, when the men went out drinking, Siwash would drink just a little bit more than the rest. In battle, when the others were brave, Siwash was reckless, one by one. Si's Marine buddies noticed the developing pattern, and each of them knew that a scrapper like that either winds up a hero or winds up dead. To save you the suspense, Siwash wound up a hero. When the Marines were about to land Tarawa, November 1943, Siwash was so eager for the fray that he swam to the beachhead. He got out of the boat and swam to the beachhead. The launches were closing in at dawn. Siwash wanted to be the first ashore, so he just jumped overboard, swam to the beach, and fought gallantly for 36 hours. 36 hours that the Marines were under fire. Siwash fought without resting. No, he was wounded in the head. He refused medical aid until the others in his gun section had been cared for. I know this is beginning to sound like one of those war stories, part fact and part fiction. But the first reports reached stateside immediately thereafter and were thoroughly confirmed and documented by a lieutenant colonel in the 1st Battalion. It is also a fact that Siwash was cited for courageous action and wounds received on Tarawa with utter disregard for his own personal safety, end quote. And that record should satisfy any hero, but it didn't satisfy Siwash. He displayed uncommon bravery once again at Saipan. And again, the tales of reckless daring reached the United States, and then it happened. For the Marines, a most... how shall I say this? A most embarrassing surprise. And for everyone, an answer to Siwash's macho motivation, the reason behind his need to excel. When it was discovered during the Tinian embarkation that he was a she. In a moment, the rest of the story. All right, now we're back to the Pacific Theater during World War II. Siwash, the fledgling recruit, the first ever female combat marine. You can imagine, Siwash got a lot of attention after his gender was discovered. After her gender was discovered. Newspapers, magazines at home and abroad were flooded with feature articles about the hero suddenly turned to heroine. For all this time, news and military sources had been referring to Siwash as the hard-drinking, hard-fighting warrior who swam ashore at Tarawa, and now it had to be admitted that a female was capable of such valor. Back in the States, civilians studied her widely published photograph. It was impossible to discern, at least on the basis of physical appearance, that Siwash was a girl. Meanwhile, Si's Marine buddies were shaking their heads, reflecting on how they'd been fooled, recalling the day they learned the truth. For you see, it was during that Tinian embarkation, the Marine launches were packed with troops headed for shore and for battle, when Siwash, as yet undiscovered, stood up in the flatbed and strolled to the center of the boat and laid an egg. And that's when the United States Marine Corps knew the true gender of their beer-drinking, battle-loving mascot, Duck. That's right, a feather-chested, paddle-footed duck. And now you know the rest of the story.
Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. For thousands of years, man has looked upward towards the night sky and dreamed. Pleasure barges rode down canals on the planet Mars. Life prospered in the lush jungles of Venus, and the moon was a supercosmic chunk of green cheese. In less than a decade, however, the Martian canals have become mere illusion. There can be no tropical paradise in the deadly atmosphere of Venus. And as far as our nearest celestial neighbor consisting of green cheese is concerned, well... Our mystery drama, The First Woman in Space, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Victoria Dan and stars Phyllis Newman. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and ARM, Allergy Relief Medicine. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Once upon a time, there was a happy little family.
Everybody happy?
Happy as a lark.
Happy as a clam.
Indeed, they were the happiest little family you would ever care to meet. Until it came time to get in their car.
Look, just get in the car.
I don't want to go. Do I have to?
This is work.
What made them unhappy was that they could never seem to find a car that was right for them. It was either too big and expensive.
Well, maybe we could skip the house payment this month.
Or too small and uncomfortable.
It's small in here.
My elbow's in my eye.
Sorry, honey.
Then one day, Father happily announced he had found a car that was just right for them, a Buick Century Custom. Being a midsize, it was neither too big nor too small for them. And being a Buick, it had a V6 engine, lots of room and comfort, and the famous Buick ride. And that pleased them to no end.
I'm pleased as punch.
I'm tickled pink.
I have to go to the bathroom.
All of which proves one thing. Maybe money can't buy you happiness, but it can buy you a Buick Century Custom, which for a lot of people is pretty much the same thing.
Traffic, traffic, mad confusion, usual display. Tempers getting shorter, it's your typical city day. But you know how it shakes away your Big Apple blues.
Relax and take a break with the New York Daily News. Relax and take a break with the New York Daily News.
Here's Breslin and Hamill. How did the home team bothering you? Things can get so crazy. Why? What's it all about? You can lose perspective, have a little doubt. So take the time to see your life from different points of view.
Relax and take a break with the New York Daily News.
Every day, over 4 million people take a break with America's largest newspaper, the Daily News.
Been men in space, and one day there will be women. To those cynics who would deny that this is indeed the natural progression of things, may we remind you that there was a time when women were barred from the unladylike profession of ballet dancing. And hard as it is to believe, also a time when only men were considered efficient secretaries. But this is the 20th century, a more enlightened age. Of course, a woman can do anything a man can do. If only they'd let her.
Waiter, could we have the check?
I could really go for a nice tall glass of iced tea.
Marco, we don't have time.
A waiter, a glass of iced tea, please.
Well, that's out of season. It'll take twice as long.
Harry, you rushed me through the soup. You hurled me past the salad. And as far as the entree is concerned, it was a minute steak in every sense of the word. Now, can't we just relax
well,
and enjoy...
Well, reception starts in 15 minutes.
So we'll be a little late.
But it's in your honor. Practically the entire staff of the university will be there waiting. Not to mention the Board of Trustees.
Until you came by the apartment to pick me up for dinner, I knew nothing about any so-called reception.
Well, I wanted to surprise you.
Some surprise. Our first real date in 6 months. And you've transformed it into some big publicity play for the university, your university.
Okay, I'm sorry I didn't tell you before.
But you must know I have had it up to here with receptions, interviews, the publicity routine. 2 months in orbit, all those weeks in isolation. I just wanted a simple, pleasant evening alone with my fiancé. I missed you, Harry. I thought you would miss me.
Margot. Hey, I missed you. That's why I began spending more time in the lab, and as a result, I may have made a major breakthrough in the conversion formula. But, you see, I need more funds.
I see.
Yeah, look, if we play it right with the trustees tonight, I can get that grant. That's why we've got to get going.
Oh, here's my iced tea. Thank you.
You know what that crosstown traffic can be.
It's so hot in here. I can't tell you how refreshing this tastes.
Margot, we've got to leave.
When I'm finished...
How can you be so inconsiderate?
That does it. You can go by yourself.
Oh, but you have to come. They're expecting you. You're a celebrity. That's what those people understand. Respect.
I don't want to argue. Oh, it's hot in here.
Margot, where are you going?
Home. Good night, Harry.
Margot, this is the last time. I promise.
Don't worry about me. I can take a cab.
Margot, wait.
Driver?
Like I say, you're lucky I happen to be driving by. One a night to have to wait outside for a taxi.
Do you have the heat on?
Yeah, you want me to turn it up a little?
No, turn it off. I feel warm.
Warm? In this frost? What are you rolling the window down for?
It's hot in here.
It's 20 degrees out there.
Is your radio on?
No, it busted.
You don't hear it?
Hear what?
That music. Strange music.
You know, I can't place it, but you look familiar. I've seen your picture someplace, like the newspaper, the TV.
Can't you hear it?
Yeah, the TV, but you ain't an actress.
It's hot. So hot. What did you just say?
I was saying you're famous, but you ain't an actress, right?
No.
You are an actress.
No, you just agreed with me. You just said it was hot.
Lady,
Really, I just heard you.
So hot, Margot.
How do you know my name is Margot?
I don't know your name is Margot.
I heard you. You just called me Margot.
Lady, honest, I didn't call you. Hey, wait a second. Margot Gordon, that's who. You're Margot Gordon, the astronaut in my cab.
I could have sworn I heard someone say my name.
Well, here we are, Miss Gordon. I mean, Dr. Gordon. Here it is. 2930 Newark Street.
Oh, yeah, yes, yes. I'll keep the change.
Oh, thanks. Thanks a lot. Good night.
Good night. It really can't be 20 degrees out here. It's too hot. Much too hot.
But why me, Margot? You ought to be seeing one of the program doctors.
I trust you, Owen.
Trust me?
I can't let anything jeopardize my chances to be on that crew.
What crew?
The Senate is about to pass the appropriation bill for a second Athena probe.
You mean you're going up there again?
Oh, it's going to be fantastic. Athena 1 was just a rehearsal, but Athena 2 is it. I've never wanted anything so badly. That's why I can't go to the mission staff and tell them what I've just told you.
So you hear voice?
I hear one voice. A very clear voice.
Margo, sometime or another, a lot of us hear voices.
I kept thinking maybe it's an after effect of all those weeks in zero gravity.
Well, I don't find a thing wrong with you, physically.
So?
So, there are three possibilities.
Yes?
First, maybe the excitement of the past few months is getting to you. Second, there may be the pressure to succeed again.
And third?
Well, you probably say it's none of my business.
What is?
Harry Freeman.
Harry?
Do you really want to marry Harry Freeman?
Why, of course.
Well, there goes that theory.
I mean, I'm excited about marrying Harry. He's a brilliant biochemist.
So I hear.
Oh, and I never thought anyone as good-looking as Harry could, well, really be interested in me.
You are happy, then?
Sure. I mean, well, although recently he has been getting on my nerves. But is any relationship perfect?
Well...
And, of course, the way he behaved last night didn't help matters at all.
Margot...
I mean, trying to show me off to his colleagues like I was some kind of curiosity.
Margot...
Oh, Owen, you really should have been a psychiatrist.
I'm just a simple country doctor.
And you've made a very simple point. Maybe I'd better not see Harry for a while. Yes, General. Yes, I just heard the news. Of course. I never doubted the bill would go through. Well, I'm delighted, too. Yes. Right. Yeah, I'll be there Monday morning. Goodbye, General. Just a minute. Harry.
Oh, can I come in?
Well...
Please. I have something to tell you.
Harry, I thought we agreed...
Yeah, to go our separate ways for a while, I know, but...
I was just on the phone with General Tolliver.
Look, I don't care who you were on the phone with.
Harry, I've never seen you like this.
Look, I did a lot of thinking this past week about us.
You did?
I thought about what you said. About... Well, about my resenting you being such a celebrity.
Oh, I didn't say that.
You didn't
that.
Exactly say that, but it's what you felt. Maybe I did resent it a little, and maybe it was inevitable that you'd begin to believe I was using you.
Oh, Harry.
It's true. That's what it looked like. The truth is I couldn't resist. The board of trustees, the promise of new lab equipment in exchange for an appearance by the country's first woman in space. All those years of struggling without adequate funding. I guess I forgot. I forgot about your feelings. And I want to apologize.
Oh, Harry, I'm so glad.
I'm not finished. I want to really convince you that I love you. For yourself. And not because you're the famous Dr. Gordon. Look, I want you to quit the space program.
What?
I want you to quit the space program.
You're kidding.
Then you'll just be plain old Margot Gordon again, and I can have you to myself.
What makes you think I even want to be plain old Margot Gordon again?
I want you down on Earth, in my house, married to me.
Well, we've discussed this before.
Well, when are we going to get married?
When I'm ready.
Well, it's been 2 years. You know, I'm beginning to doubt that you...
You know, you always manage to turn the tables and come up the good guy. You've got me all confused, and there's so much on my mind.
Margot.
Oh, no, not again.
What are you talking about?
Margot, it's so hot.
Please tell me. Who are you?
I'm your fiancé, Margot, in case you forgot.
Not you, Harry.
What?
Margot, send him away.
I must be hearing things.
Oh, darling, listen to me.
Send him away.
Harry, I have...
He is an intruder.
Harry, I have a lot on my mind right now. Please leave me alone.
Margot, what's happening to us?
Things change.
He must leave.
People change.
Make him leave.
I don't want to argue.
Look, I'm not going anywhere until we discuss this like two adults.
Force him.
Get out, Harry.
Margot.
No, I don't mean that.
Yes, you mean it.
I didn't really mean what I just said.
I think you did, Margot.
Oh, Harry, wait a minute.
No, this time I'll say goodnight.
Harry, what's wrong? What's happening?
Margot.
No, I just imagine I hear you.
You do not imagine you hear me. I am real.
I'm going out of my mind.
Alone, all alone in the void, in the cold, the darkness. Then your ship, your spaceship.
This can't be.
All alone, and now I'm not alone any longer. You found me. You brought me back.
Brought you back?
Yes.
You mean back from space? Back from the Athena 1 probe?
Yes.
Oh, what's the matter with me? I'm talking to thin air.
No, I am real. I exist. I was all alone in darkness. I saw your ship. I felt the life inside. Life. No more alone.
Something in my mind.
I'm part of you now, Margot. Part of you.
Shut up.
We share now. Part of your body, part of your mind.
Shut up.
You feel my thoughts, hear my thoughts, think my thoughts.
Shut up. Why am I sweating like this?
So hot, Margot. We are so hot.
It's a reaction to all the tensions. That's what it is.
Don't fight me.
Oh, please. What do you want from me?
I want you, Margot.
You want me?
Yes.
But why? Answer me. Why? What are you? Please, what are you?
What indeed? The ordinary human being consists of flesh, bones, and a pattern of electrical impulses. And although man has asked the question, what are you, many times in the past, it has usually been in a more philosophical context. But that, of course, is when we are dealing with an ordinary human being, which we obviously are not doing here. And also, when we are in a philosophical mood, which apparently Margot Gordon is not. I'll be back shortly with Act Two.
We'll be back shortly with Part Two of our show.
Wow. This is
quack,
so
quack.
Oh, my gosh. Here, let me help you out. Oh, I'm sorry. Did that door smack you in the head when you were going out? Here, let me help you again. I'm sorry. Did the pavement come up and hit you in the head? Oh, my bad.
Yeah. That's one way to deal with it.
A little bit about Phyllis Newman here, who is our star today on the Mystery Theater. She's a two-time Tony Award-winning actress. She's a director, a writer, and a Broadway baby. She got her start in the show business at 4 years old, imitating Carmen Miranda in theaters and clubs. It was her electrifying portrayal of Martha Vale in the Julie Stein, Comden, and Green musical Subways Offer Sleeping, costume only in a bath towel, that earned her a Tony Award. By the way, that year she beat out, I forget what it was, but she beat out Barbra Streisand for a Tony that year. Additionally, appeared in...
Oh.
Go ahead. Do you know what that...
Did Streisand do Funny Lady on... Funny Girl?
Maybe,
on
she
the
may have.
Was the movie.
Funny Girl? Maybe.
She may have, yeah. Yeah. Additionally, she appeared in Broadway in Bells Are Ringing, The Apple Tree, On the Town, Prisoner, Second Avenue, which was Neil Simon, Awaken Sing, and her one-woman musical, The Mad Woman of Central Park West, which she co-authored with Arthur Lawrence. She garnered a Tony Award nomination for her highly acclaimed performance in Neil Simon's Broadway Bound. Off-Broadway, she earned a Drama Desk nomination for her starring performance in Jane Lampin's The Moment When at Playwrights Horizons. She received unanimous praise from critics for her role as an eccentric crisis hotline operator in Nick Silver's off-Broadway comedy, The Food Chain, appeared with Fisher Stevens and Annabelle Scola in The Naked Angels production. Scheister and starred in the Drama Desk nominated revival of Majority of One. Other Broadway's credits include Wish You Were Here, First Impression. Regionally, she has been seen in other things. She's done concerts and narrations with symphony orchestras all over the world, including Maestro, Lucas Foss, Skitch Henderson, and the New York Pops, in a concert at Commemore with her daughter, Amanda Green, conducted by Maestro Michael Barrett. Let's see. She directed Stand Up for New York, a Toyota Comedy Festival event benefiting New York women in film and television, and Straws in the Wind at the American Place Theater. In the summer 2004, she directed a work by many contemporary playwrights that opened the new Provincetown Playhouse. She also wrote and co-produced a musical review for President Clinton's pre-inauguration festivities in Washington, D.C. She did a lot of television, including Playhouse 90, Ed Sullivan's Show. She was the first woman, not only in space, but the first woman to host the Johnny Carson Show. She worked extensively in TV, starring opposite Alan Arkin in 100 Center Street, Oz, Murder, She Wrote, 30-something in the Jury. Her films include Human Stain, It Had to Be You, For the First Time Being, Fish in the Bathtub, The Price Above Rubies, The Beautician and the Beast, Only You, Mannequin, To Find a Man, Bye Bye Braver Man, and Picnic. And we'll just stop there. But there's more, but that we'll just stop right there. That's, wow.
A lazy woman. She did nothing with her time.
Yeah, three lifetimes right there. And there's, but wait, there's more, but we won't do that. Yeah.
Wow. What an incredible body of work.
And she also did three mystery theaters, tonight being one of them.
And it's a darn good one, Dave. You really selected a real treat. Yeah, I can see how you felt that this could have been adapted to a Twilight Zone.
Yeah, I could see that. A little bit of a twist end at the end, but we're not going to say what that would be, because then that would be a spoiler alert.
Yep. Are you enjoying this one, C-Dub? Did we lose her? Perhaps we did.
We see her, but we don't hear her.
Perhaps she'll be back. We certainly
try
will.
Now.
Hey,
there she is.
Hey, that I'm
sorry. The Russians blew up another satellite in space and probably kicked me out again. So.
They're just jealous of you. They're just jealous of you.
Yeah, I know. Who is it? But since we're talking about Ruskies, just very quickly, you're talking about another female who earned honors and award, Dr. Valentina Tereshkova, again, the first female in space. This is just a few of the awards. She received Hero of the Soviet Union, Order of Lenin, Order of the October Revolution, Order of the Red Banner Labor, Order of Friendship of the People, Order of Grigory Dimitrov, Order of Karl Marx, Order of the Flag of the Republic of Hungary, Order of Volta, Order of the Nile, Order of Bernard O'Higgins, Order of Anna Benincourt, Order. I'll take a ham and cheese vegan on rye, please.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've only been good at order of eggs over easy. You know, that's all I was, my best order.
But suffice to say, just about, I don't know how many countries, most of them were Soviet blocked at the time, but England and Scotland gave her awards. The good old U.S. of A. didn't give her anything. Gosh, that's a shocker.
Damn Americans.
Yankees. All those Yankees with the rock and roll.
Yeah. And their blue jeans. Why, I oughta.
And according to Gar, she also invented the tank lever replacing the standard chain on the toilets.
And there you have it. Wow.
That's
Zinga.
Yes. But she didn't have a tail. This we know. She did not have a tail. May have dated Ernest Borgnine, but no tail.
Yeah, Dave, well done. Great, great pick. This is, I'm enjoying this one, seriously.
Yeah, they didn't feature a lot of women in the mystery theaters. Every once in a while when they did, then High Brown would probably get on the phone and get a hold of Mercedes McCambridge. And she did a lot of the female leads. She got to come in and do a lot of those. Like in their version of Dracula, it was a female lead, and she was the lead in that.
So, well, I don't know, the man says, blah, blah. As the wise guy once said. Blah, blah.
It was all a bad dream. Yes, yes.
That it was. Let's get back to First Woman in Space. Find out what's bugging her. What's up with this voice? And what's going on CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
One's moist towelettes in the handy little porta-pack that fits in pocket or purse. Pull one out and another pops right up to clean you up, freshen you up wherever you go.
Universe. There really hasn't been much evidence one way or another. And if we do have any neighbors, they certainly have been keeping a rather low profile. In any event, Margot Gordon is a brilliant scientist who seems to be wondering if maybe she hasn't come back alone from a mission in outer space. It's not that she's inhospitable, but there are certain kinds of company that a sane, average human being can very well do without.
Please. Please tell me, who are you? Who are you?
I am the last.
The last? The last?
I am all that remains, all that survives.
Survives? Survives what?
Our world destroyed. Our world is dead.
Your world?
Our planet is gone in the light of a thousand stars. Home is gone in the blaze of a thousand stars.
Blaze of a thousand stars? You mean your sun exploded?
The heat of a thousand suns. Our planet is no more. I'm all that survives. A traveler with no home to return to. Waiting for a home to return to.
A traveler? What did you travel in? Where is your ship?
There is no ship. No need for a ship.
Why can't I see you if indeed you do exist?
I exist.
I can't see you.
So long ago. So long to search. To wait. An eternity of waiting in the darkness, in the cold, in the emptiness.
This is insane. I'm talking to thin air.
My mind survives. My mind lives. My thoughts are my eyes. My thoughts are my hands.
Why are you doing this to me?
My thoughts guided me. They found your ship. They found you.
What do you want from me?
No more searching. Your hands are my hands.
No.
Your eyes are my eyes.
It's impossible.
I live again in the sunlight again. We live.
No.
We share this body. I survive in this body. No more darkness. No more aloneness. I survive in this body.
You can't take over another person's body.
We share this body.
It's indecent.
But this body must adjust to the heat of this planet. It's too warm.
I'm so hot.
We are hot. We must do something about the heat.
What's wrong with me? What's happening to me?
So hot. Hot.
No, no. No, no, I don't. I don't hear you. You're not real.
So hot.
Gotta concentrate. Gotta concentrate on something else. Get away from the heat. A movie. All right, a movie. truck in the way.
It's a public driveway.
I can't go around a moving van. There's not enough room. I have to get somewhere. Can't you move this truck of yours out of the way? And what about all these crates?
Lady, we're right in the middle of unloading this junk. It's bad enough we have to work overtime. Hey, would you look out? Please, get out of the way. These boxes are heavy. I wouldn't want you to get hurt.
This isn't safe.
That's what I've been trying to tell you. Now, stand back now. Hey, George, check the coupling, will you? Something sounds a little loose.
But this is absolutely ridiculous.
Margo.
Not you again.
Margo, there's danger.
Hey, George, ease it to the right. Yeah, hey, check that rope before you put it on the ramp. Before, George.
There's danger.
No.
The wooden box inside is heavy equipment.
I don't hear you.
The rope that pulls it is old, thin. In a moment, it will snap.
Okay. Easy, George.
In a moment, it will hurtle down and crush the man, crush you. Oh,
I don't hear you.
You must be ready to save us. You have the strength to save us. Put out your arm.
Okay. Let it go, George.
We have the strength. We have the strength in our arms to stop it. Margo.
No. Look out.
No, Margo. No.
Out of the way.
Lady, you'll be killed.
We are strong.
What on earth?
Release the crate. Gently let it roll to a stop.
I don't believe what I just saw.
Where did I get the strength to do
it? If I hadn't seen it with my own eyes, well, you just put out your hands and stop that box dead in its tracks. Over 800 pounds.
You are real. You do exist.
Yeah, how did you do it, lady?
I really did bring you back from space.
Yes, Margo.
An alien creature living inside of my body. What am I going to do?
Hey, how'd you do it, lady? I mean, you got iron arms or something?
I have to get out of here.
Hey, wait a second, lady. Wait now. Come back.
It's incredible, Margo.
Do you believe me now, Owen?
I don't know what to believe. Heartbeat, blood pressure up radically. Body temperature's abnormally low. Either there's something wrong with all my medical instruments or...
Is the idea of extraterrestrial life so hard to accept?
Well, I've been a physician for 30 years, and I've never seen anything like this before. Why, there are impurities in your blood I can't even define.
Well, doesn't that prove that...
All it proves is that your body is undergoing some massive changes.
Owen... My body is adjusting to an alien presence, a being that somehow, through a process I can't explain, found me, attached itself to me out there in space.
You're not serious.
800 pounds of machinery hurtling down a loading ramp. I should have been crushed to death. Instead, I caught it as if it were a runaway shopping cart, almost half a ton. There's not a bruise on my hands.
Well, the imagination is a strange thing. Sometimes we think we have...
Owen, at this point it's not necessary if you believe me or not. Just help me. In 2 days, I have to undergo a follow-up physical at the base. I'll be going before General Tolliver at the Project Medical Team.
Well, they'll find out just what I
have.
They
won't, because you're going to help me.
I don't think you understand, Mom.
I'm sure there's something you can give me. I'm not asking you to treat the cause, just the symptoms.
There's nothing I can do.
Oh, and there must be shots, pills.
That'll take more than that to cover up what's wrong with you.
Who said cover up? I want you to get rid of it. You're a doctor.
Didn't you hear me? I said your entire physiology is altered. Your blood chemistry has changed.
So?
Anything I could give you, I can't predict how your body would react.
If I don't pass that physical, I'll be dropped from the Athena program.
Well, you'll have to tell them at the project. They have a right to know.
No, I can't.
Maybe they can find a way to deal with whatever it is.
No. No, you help me, Owen.
I'm not qualified to help you, Margo. But I have a friend.
A specialist?
You could say that. Let me give you his name. I want you to talk to him.
A psychiatrist?
Well, maybe he can help you understand. Reality is difficult to face sometimes. People aren't as strong as they think they are.
My mind is fine.
Margo, you need help. I feel responsible.
And so you'll tell them?
Well, I can't just stand by and let this happen to you.
I won't let you tell them. It'll ruin me. I won't let you tell them. I'll kill you first.
Margot.
My friend, my doctor, turning against me.
Margot.
You don't know how much strength I have. I can put these two hands around your neck and choke the life out of you.
Margot, you're choking me.
Explain why I am so strong. Explain why you can't push me away. You're bigger than me. Why are you so helpless?
Margot, I can't breathe.
How easily I could kill you.
Margot.
The power of life and death over you.
Breathe.
I could kill you. I could... Oh. Owen. Owen, I don't know what came over me.
In the name of...
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I wouldn't hurt you for the world, and I almost...
What you just did, it's
impossible. I was angry. I didn't know my own strength.
Come on, go.
Oh, Owen, please help me.
I've got to think. I've got to think.
You really expect me to believe a story like that, Doctor?
How do you think I'd come to you if I didn't have to?
Well, I know you don't like me. You can't accept the idea of Margot and me getting married.
We're not here to discuss my opinions. I asked to meet you here because whatever else I think of you, you are a brilliant, innovative scientist.
Oh, boy. First you feed me a wild story about creatures from outer space. Then you start praising me. Now, come on, Owen. What do you really want?
I only want to help Margot.
No, seriously. Tired of playing country doctor? Do you want me to get you back into the university?
Now, Harry, get this straight. I don't like you. I've never liked you. You may put on a nice enough front where it counts to someone like Margot, but well, inside you're out of touch with people. You're not really warm at all. But you're smart, and you've got the equipment, a lab. If anyone can help Margot, you can.
Help her?
If you really care about her the way you claim to.
I do care about her. I happen to love her. Now, we had an agreement. But she hasn't been the same.
I know, since she came back from the first Athena probe.
You noticed it, too.
Well, that's what I've been trying to say to you. It's not mental, Harry. It's physical.
You actually believe...
As a scientist, aren't you at least a little bit curious? You've written a dozen papers on the possibility of extraterrestrial life, and here's an opportunity presenting itself.
You say that there is actual physical evidence?
Put a blood sample from her on a slide.
Okay. Okay, I'll go along. But look, is she willing to see me?
She'll see you.
I don't know if I want to do this, Owen.
And that's why I'm coming along. Harry knows what he's doing. Now just relax.
General Tolliver called me again today.
Oh?
They've narrowed the final crew selection down to half a dozen. My chances are even better now.
Well, I'm thinking, if this creature came from another world and was used to a colder environment...
Go on.
Well, it could explain the radical drop in your body temperature. Well,
that's logical, but what are you getting at?
Well, I'm no scientist, but I have an idea.
Did you just hear something?
Nothing. You're jumpy. What I'm thinking...
No!
I have this strange feeling.
Something's wrong with the car. We're taking a turn too fast. Hang on.
Owen, step on the brake.
I can't. My foot, the gas pedal is stuck.
Do something.
I can't.
Look out. The tree.
The steering wheel, Walter.
Be silent and safe, the saying goes. Silence never betrays you. Apparently, the good doctor should have kept his eyes on the road and his thoughts to himself. There are strange powers at work here. Obviously, our alien is quite capable of looking out for itself and feels that there are some things that are better left unsaid. That is, until I return with Act 3.
It's a darling or a horror. It's a pet of all the room.
It's the toast of Timbuktu.
It's the hit of old New Haven.
The greatest in Quebec. The whole world loves world money. Bank America Traveler's Check.
We call Bank America Traveler's Checks world money because they're accepted all over the world. Everywhere from Missoula to Madagascar. And Bank America Traveler's Checks have a unique safety feature that makes them just about forge-proof.
No wonder the whole world loves world money.
Yours now. It's like free money. Hey.
Free money. Free, free, free.
Have you ever had to use traveler's checks in your life, sir?
I have not.
No? How about
my
you?
My parents did.
No. I've never even seen one, to be perfectly honest, except in old commercials on YouTube. Sorry.
I only remember using them once. Actually, when I was in the service, they highly recommended that because servicemen were subject to a little bit of crime from the locals, scammers, and unscrupulous ladies, things like that. So we were highly recommended to put all of our money on payday during basic training, put them in traveler's checks. It was felt safer while traveling too.
Yeah, because you had to sign them when you bought them, and then you had to sign them when you cashed them.
When you redeem them, you had to sign them as well.
Yep. I know I was an assistant manager at Burger King way back when, and the owner didn't even really want to take them there, even though they were, you know.
Yeah,
the owner didn't even do
check. For a Whopper?
Do they do them anymore?
You kidding?
Do they do them? Do they do them anymore? Are there
traveler's checks? I don't know.
Traveler's checks.
I have to look that up.
I would think they're not needed as much anymore with the other forms of plastic payment. But I don't know.
Yeah, that way people still don't have to carry cash and yet that have access to their accounts. Yeah.
Yeah. So. There we go. That's just another thing that went by the wayside, traveler's checks, which were once quite common, but no longer in practice.
You know what's funny? When my dad passed and my mom found a few that had not been things, she tried taking them. You know, one of the banks wouldn't even take them. One of the banks wouldn't even take them.
Yeah.
So they must not be a thing of the current. So it must be something, like you said, is a thing of the past that we lived through and is gone.
Actually, I beg to differ. The American uh-huh. Traveler's checks are still in existence.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Was it? You know, that reminds me of those fun commercials. They didn't have a nice little singing ditty like it was here. But they did have Carl Malden, who would pop up and talk about, you know, how if you would get lost or stolen, you could just go to your office and just get them replaced.
Yes, it's easy, unless it's 20 years later or 100 years later. And it's now worth nothing. Thank you very much.
And let's see. Well, what do you know? You can exchange your traveler's checks at a PNC bank in Parma.
Parma?
Did somebody say Parma?
No one said that, because if someone had said it, you would have heard this. There we go. That's just a little prep music for Gar's show coming up in just 1/2 hour or so. Horrible horror starring Gar the Ghoul on them there Twitches. But that's after we wrap things up here.
That
we are snacking
true.
On Kishka. So someone stole it.
Friendly neighborhood PNC.
I'll be darned.
Yep.
Well, let us wrap up our feature tonight. First woman in space. And, of course, she had to bring back company.
Yeah.
As we wrap this one
along.
Up.
I wonder if she got a 2-for-1 deal.
Yep. And Dave tells us there's a twist ending. Let's find out. We'll wrap it up and we'll be back.
Down through the ages, there have been endless examples of people who believed their bodies to be possessed by evil spirits. Now, as the result of a contact in outer space, astronaut Margot Gordon finds her body possessed by an alien being. Though we have no way of determining whether this creature is evil, we do know that it can and will fight for its life. Playing unwilling host to an extraterrestrial life form is proving to be quite unpleasant, especially when the unwelcome guest has no intention of ever leaving.
Owen? Owen?
Margo.
Oh, Owen, thank heaven you're still alive.
Margo. Lost control of the wheel.
Hurry. Hurry over here.
Margo, listen.
Please.
Shh,
don't talk.
You know, I have to tell you.
This is all my fault.
I can't remember.
None of this would have happened if I had kept you out of it.
I came as soon as I heard.
Oh, Harry.
How is he?
Intensive care. Critical. They won't know for hours.
But at least you're all right. I mean, sometimes these accidents look worse than they are.
This was no accident.
Well, not a scratch on you, but then... What did you say?
It wasn't an accident.
Oh, come on.
Something made Owen lose control of the car.
Honey, it's been a traumatic experience for
you. The alien, that's who did it.
The alien?
Owen was trying to tell me something.
You're serious, aren't you?
Harry, when I was in orbit, up there, I can't explain how... A living organism, an intelligence of some alien origin, merged with me. Don't stare at me like that. I'm not crazy. It invaded me, became a part of me. It lay dormant for a while, undetected. But now it's...
All right, Margo. Let's put it to the test right now.
Now?
The chemistry building is just across the campus. This can't be right.
Now, how many more tests are you going to run before you believe me?
These readings are impossible. But your red blood cells, the structure is altered. And there are elements present in the plasma which fit no known category.
I told you.
Body fluids, blood pressure, heartbeat. It's as if your body was adapting somehow, but drastically.
The alien is adjusting to a totally different environment.
It's hard to believe.
It's an intelligent life form.
And it's living. Oh, what a breakthrough.
I've finally convinced you that it is a form of life.
This is important, Margot. Really important.
Who are you calling?
We have to get Dr. Schiller over here.
Oh, no, wait a minute.
Then I've got to call the Heinrich Institute.
Oh, Harry. Harry, we can't let all these people know. I don't want a lot of publicity. I'm not a guinea pig. I'm an astronaut.
Is Dr. Schiller in? Good. I'll call him back in 10 minutes. He's on his way home.
I want this kept quiet.
Well, you can't keep a thing like this quiet.
The alien has to be destroyed.
What?
Destroyed. Before it completely takes over my body. Before I go out of my mind.
Well, you can't just destroy a thing like this with a snap of your fingers. I mean, it takes time.
I don't have time. The alien has powers.
Oh, sure.
It can do things. If you don't help me get rid of it, I'll just have to do it myself.
Margo.
You.
Must not destroy.
You almost killed Owen.
He was a threat to survival.
Margo, who are you talking to?
You're evil.
No, not evil.
You tried to kill.
I did not understand kill. Did not know then about killing, only could understand survival.
There's got to be a way to rid myself of you.
Must not destroy. I am all that remains. I am the last. I must survive.
When you've completely taken over my body, what then?
The last of my race. I must go on.
Margo, you're talking to thin air.
What happens when I have no control over this body? All this strength, all this power. Harry, do you know I could lift you with one hand?
You're talking irrationally.
Do I have to show you?
Wait, Margo, what? Hey, put me down.
Up to the ceiling.
Hey, put me down.
I'll hold you there.
Put me down, Margo.
You asked for it.
Oh, Margo.
Now will you help me?
It's true. What you've been telling me...
I have some control still. But I don't know for how long. Harry, forget about the journals, the newspapers. Just help me.
But...
Don't you see how dangerous this is to me? If we don't stop it?
All right, I'll try to find a way. Just give me time to get some equipment together. I don't like the idea of putting you in a pressure chamber. It's dangerous.
Harry.
Ready?
Ready.
Switch on.
Nothing. Nothing happened. Move on to the x-rays.
We've ruled out pressure, radiation, electricity. We've even had you in the centrifuge.
There must be something.
But, Margo, we might as well face reality. This condition of yours is going to be permanent.
There's got to be a way. I can't be someone else, an alien. I can't, Harry. The heat.
What? What is it?
We've tried a lot of things, except heat.
Heat?
Yes, heat. Ever since the alien began to take over, I've developed an abnormal sensitivity to warm temperatures. The alien keeps repeating how hot it is. And, of course, I'm hot, too. This room, Harry, it's unbearable.
Well, it's only 60 degrees in here.
It's stifling.
But I
found the weak spot. I'm going to venture a guess that the alien still hasn't adjusted to Earth's environment. It's not quite used to the warmth.
Well, you could be right, but I don't see how
we're
going to...
That's the key. That's the way to destroy it.
You intend to use some form of intense heat on your body to destroy the alien?
Right.
But, Margo, in destroying the alien, isn't there a probability that you also destroy yourself?
I know.
Well, I won't have anything to do with anything that might also kill you.
Is it better that I not take the risk? That I remain alive physically, but truly not myself any longer? My mind won't belong to me.
Anything is better than being dead.
Is it?
Well, what would you have me do?
Don't you have some kind of heating chamber in this building?
No, absolutely not. I won't allow
you... You must.
Look, we've taken enough risks already. The time has come to accept the condition, Margo.
No.
We'd still have each other. We'd still be together.
It wouldn't be the same. Maybe we don't have to use really intense heat. We wouldn't have to destroy the alien. Just use enough heat to drive it away.
Well, where?
I don't know and I don't care. Any place, as long as it's away from me. Let's try something first.
What are you doing?
This is steam heat, Harry. I'm turning it up as high as it can go. I'll sit along the wall here by the radiator.
Margo, I don't think...
I don't care what you think. I'm going to force the creature out of my body. Drive it away from the heat.
Look, you can injure yourself this way, Margo.
Stay away, Harry. I mean it.
Margo.
Oh, the heat is terrible.
The heat, Margo. Move us away from the heat.
No, I'm not moving.
Hot. So hot.
I must get rid of you.
I mean no harm. Please.
No. You must leave my body.
Body will not adjust. Do not understand.
You cannot live in my body. You had no right to take over my body.
Needed a body. Meant no harm.
It's working. I can feel you getting weaker.
Cannot die. My duty to live on. Waiting to begin again. Find a new body. Begin again.
Weaker. Still weaker.
I chose the wrong body. Basic structure different, but still the same. Understand now why you fight me. You are the other. You are the other.
The other? What
father.
Cannot stay in this body. You are the other. Must find new body. Right body.
What do you mean I'm the other?
Must survive the heat. Must find a body.
I can't think straight. I'm growing weaker, too.
Understand now. Two of each kind. Two of each species. Margot, you are the other.
Yes. Yes, I understand now.
You are the other half. You are the female. They call the other female on this planet. Must find my other. Yes, must survive. Must find a way to live on. He must hurry.
Wait, I understand.
Margot, are you all right?
It's gone, Harry. The alien is gone. I can feel it. My body. I don't feel hot anymore.
I'll run some tests to be sure. Blood pressure, heart rate, body temperature. All back to normal.
It's gone. Really gone.
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, somehow, your entire body chemistry is reverting back.
It's gone. But where did it go?
When you show up at the base on Monday morning, you should be completely back to your old self.
It had to go somewhere, but where?
Margot?
What's wrong, Harry?
Did you just hear that?
Hear what?
That sound.
What sound?
For a minute, I thought I heard a sound. A voice.
What did you think it was?
Well, I don't know. Something... it didn't make much sense. I have found the other. Something like that.
I have found the other? Oh.
Margot? What's with you?
Nothing.
Well, you look as if you've seen a ghost. Oh, come on, let's get out of this hot box and find ourselves two of the biggest ice cream sodas in the city.
Harry, it's not hot in here. What is it?
Margot?
What's wrong?
Nothing is wrong. Everything is as it should be.
It did find a new body.
I have found the new beginning.
You're Harry.
We are Harry. Everything is as it should be. The new beginning.
It seems that while things have cooled down for Margot, they're heating up for Harry, which is really only fair, especially to those of you who are fierce believers in poetic justice. Harry is serving science in a capacity he never dreamed possible, preserving an alien life form from eventual extinction. Yes, justice is our motto. I'll be back in a moment with a final verdict.
You were tied to buy a car, so don't let it age too fast. Change to Quaker Estate. Quaker Estate helps cars last. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Yes, indeed it does.
Quaker Estate wants to help your car last. We refine to strict quality standards so that when our motor oil goes into your car, you know it's going to do a great job. Use Quaker Estate regularly and you'll help avoid expensive engine repairs. What better promise could you expect from America's best-selling motor oil? It's available wherever they care about cars.
You worked hard to buy your car, so don't let it age too fast. Change to Quaker Estate. Quaker Estate helps cars last. Yes, it does, yes, indeed, it does.
great philosopher Sir Francis Bacon said, if a man be gracious and courteous to strangers, it shows he is a citizen of the world, and that his heart is no island cut off from other lands, but a continent that joins to them. Why not carry this a bit further? How will man react when he makes that first contact with a celestial neighbor? Will he welcome such a stranger and prove himself to be more than a citizen of the world, but a citizen of the universe? Our cast included Phyllis Newman, Marion Seldes, Lloyd Batista, and Hans Conried. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
But if someone should want an autopsy, what would I say? Jack or Fred or the other Magnum board member? Of course, Arthur would stop them. He signed the death certificate, his word. Besides, who could do that without my permission? Unless there was some suspicion It was narrowing down to Harriet and me. I had to act. Now, first thing, to discredit whatever she might say. I called Arthur's office and said I was too sick to keep my appointment at 4. I started eating nothing but toast, a few potatoes for dinner. I began to take a few grains of arsenic at a time. I had to make it believable. I had to make it believable she was the prisoner and I was the next intended victim.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by ARM, Allergy Relief Medicine, and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
WOR Mystery Theater was brought to you in part by ShopRite Supermarkets, where you get a lot more for a little less. The preceding program is furnished by CBS Radio. This is WOR New York, an RKO general station at the time signal exactly 8 o'clock.
That was not me that time. I swear.
I admit, I did that, yeah. Well, I tacked that on at the end. When they said at the chime, I said, oh, I got to have some kind of chime, you know. No.
I thought that was part of the radio program. I'm like, all right, good. Well done, well done.
That was exceptionally good.
Did we learn anything?
I certainly did.
Okay.
You should be hearing Hans Conried on this one. Erie House Radio proudly presents a garrulous moral of the story.
With apologies to Gar, this thought, for the next time you feel all hot and bothered, it may not be a cold coming, it might be an alien invasion. So be careful and keep the heat on. There you go.
Yes, it was all a bad dream.
Yes, it was. Yes.
That's an interesting twist at the end.
Most.
I wasn't quite sure where they were going with that until they dropped the bomb.
So they dropped the bomb. Yep. Berk.
Yeah, some extra. So you mean you're a female? What kind of extraterrestrial are you?
Obviously not neutral basis, you know.
Well.
Had her own typical biases. Its own bias, yes.
True. Must admit, though. typical male extraterrestrial riding on a woman's coattails, please. Yeah.
No, unless it was the female extraterrestrial wanting to be with the good-looking scientist.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's that. That's a possibility. Not a likelihood,
hey,
but a possibility.
We have time for a little bit of fun here, Dale.
We do. Let's see. I think, you know what? I got a little change here. Well, this next one is on me.
This is the Big Show, and Tallulah Bankhead is about to introduce...
Darling, here she is, the one, the only, the most vibrant young singer in show business today, singing Get Happy from her latest MGM picture, Summer Stock, Miss Judy Holliday. Forget your troubles, come on, get happy. You better chase all your cares away. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. Get ready for the judgment day. Sun is shining, come on, get happy. The Lord is waiting to take your hand. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. We're going to the promised land. We're heading for the river. Throw your sins away in the tide. It's all so side. Forget your troubles, come on, get happy. You better chase all your cares away. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. Get ready for the judgment day. Forget your troubles, come on, get happy. Chase your cares away. Hallelujah, get happy before the judgment day. Sun is shining, come on, get happy. See, the Lord is waiting to take your hand. Shout hallelujah. Yeah, come on, get happy. We're gonna be going to the promised land. We're heading across the river. Wash your sins away in the tide. It's quiet and peaceful on the other side. Forget your troubles, get happy. Your cares fly away. Shout hallelujah, get happy. Get ready for your judgment day. Come on, get happy, chase your cares away. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. Get ready for the judgment day. Sun is shining, come on, get happy. Lord is waiting to take your hand. Hallelujah, come on, get happy. We're going to the promised land. Heading for the river, throw your sins away in the tide. It's all so peaceful. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. You better chase all your cares away. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready for the judgment day.
Turns out she should have followed her own advice. Oh, that's awful.
Potato chips.
Potato chips.
Potato chips.
Potato chips.
Potato chips.
Potato chips.
Smack my lips when I eat potato chips. Yes, 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 indeed. Potato chips,
potato, potato, potato chips,
potato, how I love the crunch when I munch a crunchy bunch, it's all the lunch I need.
P-O-T-A-T-O chips,
me, oh my, oh me, oh, P-O-T-A-T-O, even love to spell it, run to where they sell it, gotta have a snack of, got to get a sack of potato chips,
potato,
potato, potato chips,
potato, potato,
potato chips. Potato chips, smack my lips when I eat potato chips.
Yes, 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 indeed.
needed. Potato, tato, tato chips. That's all I need. Mother sent me to the store, and what do you think she sent me for? Okra, lentils, nutmeg, split peas, pizzas, noodles, tamales, Swiss cheese,
and the great big pumpernickel bread.
And what do you think that I brought home instead?
Let me guess.
Potato chip. Love that crunch.
Potato chip.
Love to munch. Potato chip. Smack my lips when I eat potato chip.
Yes, indeed.
Potato chip. So delicious.
Potato chip.
Better than Canisius. Potato, how I love the crunch when I munch a crispy bunch. It's all the lunch I need.
Potato chips. Me, oh, my, oh, me, oh. P-O-T-A-T-O.
Even love to spell it. Run to where they sell it. Gotta have a snack. I've got to get a sack of
potato chips.
Smack my lips when I eat potato chip.
Yes, indeed.
Potato chips.
That's all I need. P-O-T-A, tato chips. P-O-T-A, smack my lips. Love to munch 'em, love to crunch 'em. P-O-T-A-T-O, potato chips.
Good stuff.
Yeah, those carbs.
I did see that. I was just going to say, I did see that movie Get Happy, and it was a wonderful vehicle also for Gene Kelly and Phil Silvers, who I didn't really care for. I never really liked Sergeant Bilko, but he was excellent in that, and I got to like him better. It just seems like the only thing I don't care for him is the role of Sergeant Bilko, but he was in that movie also. That's all.
Yep.
You and I are of the same mind, Dave. I never got why Sergeant Bilko was so popular. I mean, quite frankly, it bored the living hoo-ha out of me.
Yeah, I mean, that went up.
Hoo-ha? You can't use that kind of language on this show, young lady. Hoo-ha, indeed. Hey, speaking of food like potato chips, big dinner to you all this coming Thursday. That's right, Thanksgiving.
Oh, yes.
Want to wish you all a very, very happy Thanksgiving. We would like to express our thanks to you for supporting us, listening to our shows, and tolerating our silliness from time to time. Me, personally, thankful for CW, Gar the Ghoul, and my partner. Well, my other partner. You guys are all partners as far as I'm concerned. Dashing Dave Binkley. I'm very grateful because I have so much fun. This is like my stress release, my escapism. Just love doing this. Love sharing these old time radio shows. So next week
we were talking before we went on the air, and it was like I just told him it was like a vacation. You know, we're doing this most times.
And I'll be on vacation starting Wednesday for a week, for 5 days, yay. And we will be back on Friday with Thanksgiving leftovers. That's right. We got old Mel Blanc, The Little Things in Life, and Eddie Cantor. And then on Saturday, Gunsmoke and Jack Benny. Go figure. Only Dave could tie it all up, sew it up together in a little bow and get nice and pretty. With Thanksgiving leftovers, surprisingly no meatloaf, at least not on Erie House. But we would like you to enjoy Gar the Ghoul coming up right after this little broadcast, which is ending in about 18 seconds or so. So thanks for joining us, and we will be back on Friday at 8:30 Eastern.
Happy Thanksgiving.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him. When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Good. Everything but the poof. Everything but the puff.
Everything but the... I thought you said the poot.
Our
radio
puff.
Pooted.
The puff. Yeah.
Well, that'll come after the three-bean casserole.
Yeah, there you go. That's something our family hasn't really done, is the three-bean casserole thing. Nor the green bean slop thing. Slop.
Oh, with the crispy onions on
yes,
top.
Yeah, crispy
yes.
onions on the top, yeah.
On the upside, it does like, some recipes have mushroom soup in it, so that's not bad.
Hooray for mushrooms, hooray.
I'm a huge fan of the fungus.
Yay, mushrooms.
I think it tastes like... I think it tastes like dirt.
Well, you got to wash them off first, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, nobody told me that.
there's so many varieties that grow around me, and I wonder if any of them are edible.
Probably, but I would love to go mushrooming, but I'd have to go with someone who really knew their stuff.
And make them eat them first and wait. No, they have these. We have these giant ones that grow periodically. We haven't had them for a few years, but you go out in the backyard there, and there's like this. Oh, did somebody leave their soccer ball here? No, it's this giant white, and they're called puffball. And I believe they're edible. If I only knew, they're massive.
Oh, I wish. I can't remember her name. Let me see if I can go on Facebook quickly. She is a wild gleaner. She goes out into the woods and finds things that are, you know, nummy to eat.
She's not a horse lady, is she?
No.
No, she's not. Well, I found one.
I'm still recovering from that.
Yeah.
I may never be the same.
I needed a bromo seltzer after that one.
Oh, damn you, Gar. Damn you.
Oh, you maniacs. You blew it up. Where is she? I follow her.
Is she a mushroom lady?
Mushrooms and vines and everything. Why can't I find her? So I hooked up to her thingamabob, I'm supposed to.
I don't know, but I'm a huge fan of the fungus. But I don't have the courage to pick my own. They say you only get to pick bad mushrooms once.
Yeah, only once. That's right.
So... I'm thinking those odds don't suit me very much. not doing that today.
Let's see if I can find her. Here she's on YouTube.
And how does a truffle differ from a mushroom?
You have to dig truffles up, don't you?
Yeah, they go underground versus showing above ground. They're another kind of fungus. There's also something called...
there's a fungus among us.
I think it's called... Don't laugh, it's called scum. But it grows on...
That's laughing.
Now, how the hell are we supposed to not laugh? Could you just help me with that?
Control, yeah. It grows on corn, and it's considered a delicacy as well. It's just another fungus. Well, yeast is a fungus. I mean, if you ever had a head of, you know, a glass of suds, you know, Milwaukee's finest would not be its finest without some yeast. And well, good glass of wine. You need yeast for that. Bread, you have to have yeast. Not all breads, but the yeasty, smelling, wonderful dinner rolls that are fresh out of the oven with that wonderful aroma. Yeah.
Bread is my enemy.
Yeah.
I love it, but it's my enemy.
Yeah.
Not good for a blood sugar.
Where is she? Well, anyway, yeah, she found these giant puffballs, and they're all over the internet, where people grill them, bake with
yes.
them.
They're a very huge mushroom. I would.
They're monsters.
I love them. I can even eat them without unassisted. Normally, I'm a person, and I know you probably don't want to hear this, CW, but I love meat. So they enhance a steak rather well, in my opinion. But I could just have a mushroom sandwich. I swear I could. Yep.
A mushroom sandwich, okay.
Yes, I could. I could do that, yes. You get some toast. You get a big, like, giant, I don't know, a shiitake mushroom or something, a big giant thing. Yeah, I'd put a little onion on there, maybe a roast pepper. Oh, yeah. That would make a good sandwich. Maybe some ciabatta bread. That would be good. But bread is my enemy.
But let's see. Yeah, here she is. She's on YouTube. She's also on TikTok. I have no use for TikTok.
Yeah, I do not tick, nor talk, nor tweet, nor chirp, nor... I have tried tweeting, and it's... Yeah, no.
Nothing. Her name's Alex Nicole. Let's see where she is on. Oh, it's no longer Facebook. It's Meta. Meta.
Oh, Meta.
Meta.
I'm Meta Man. Got a computer.
Yep. there she is. See if I can share this with you guys.
The Mushroom Lady.
Yep,
as long as she doesn't start whinnying or playing one of those jaw harps, you know.
you're never gonna stop seeing that, are you, Dale?
Oh, it hurt. It's burned into my retina and my psyche, and it's a horrible thing. Gar is pleased with himself. I can't get it out of my head.
It's a fairly regular segment on his show.
There she is. I just rang you.
Yep, I heard it. I heard it.
I heard a bing. Oh, okay.
Yeah. She's got a lot of cool stuff.
There's a lot to picking mushrooms. There are a lot of details. Like, there's some that are, like, just so similar looking to others, and actually, they're deadly. But some are quite yummy.
They are. But, yeah, she is really cool, a lot of fun, and she has a great deal of energy and wild, wacky sense of humor. Not that I can relate to that, of course. I'm such a
I think
person.
It's all those funny mushrooms she eats.
Yeah, I think it's...
No, I don't like the psychedelic kind. I like the kind you can make a nice soup with. Oh, yeah. Or even a stew.
I don't like the kind that make you think that your drapery is having a conversation with you.
Yeah, they're trying to kill me. The fish are staring at me.
I would love to try Hen of the Woods.
Hen of the Woods. Speaking of videos, there's this girl on YouTube, and I don't think she's posted for a long time, but she's an actual mortician. But she tells, like, a lot of little morbid history. And she's cool. I forget her name. Mortician lady.
Right.
And different questions. Like, what if you die this way? What would happen to your body if you die that way? And just pleasantly explains it. You know, she's not like real goth or anything like that. She's a little on the dark side, but she's actually well educated, and I've seen her on being interviewed on other YouTube formats. Can't remember her name. Something mortician.
The femme mortician. The mystery mortician. The mortal mortician.
Caitlin Doughty, I think. Is that her name? Yes, it is. Caitlin Doughty. Ask a Mortician is her webpage.
Ask a Mortician.
Ask a Mortician.
Okay.
Okay,
let's visit the human composting facility.
I wonder if she gets like a question like, how many minutes would it take for the bones to disappear in this acid bath, you know? I wonder if she gets questions like that.
Yeah, what's the best acid, you know? Is it,
what happens to a body during cremation? What happened to Titanic's dead?
They drowned.
Why? You should spend time with a dead body. Caitlin Doughty. Yeah, D-O-U-G-H-T-Y.
I did that. It was called The Practice Marriage.
Yes.
Oh. Meow. Meow.
Did I say that?
Well, apparently she is still posting videos. She put one up a month ago. The doctor, the mortician, and the murder. The locals feared her wellness retreat was not what it seemed.
Yeah. But it'd be interesting, you know, get to me, like, what poisons don't ever show up in an autopsy?
Yeah, there you go. Now, I don't think she covers that. I wonder if she covered, like, that weird period in the Victorian area where people, like, were propping up their dead relatives to take pictures.
Oh, yeah. What is the deal? You know, I'm sorry.
I know, right?
People so... I mean, were people so enamored? Oh, look, cameras were invented. I know he's 3 days dead, but let's clean him up a little bit and we'll put him right in front of the camera. There he is. Put a nice hat on his head. There we are. Prop him up so he looks like he has a smile on his face and put a glass of whiskey in there. Yeah, that's his favorite. There we are. Really? If ever there was a weird thing people have ever done, that was weird. I mean, that's the weirdest kind of selfie. I thought selfies nowadays were crazy. You know, you see a person falling down the stairs. Hang on a second. Hang on. Let me get the Samsung out. Hang on. Yeah, man, I got 911. Hang on a second. Let me get this on TikTok. Hang on. Yeah, you're fine. Yeah, just because your leg is pointing in a 53-degree angle, don't worry about it. Let me get you on TikTok. There you go. Okay.
Well, happy mashed potatoes and other wonderful treats for sometimes the sides are, you know, if you're not into the turkey thing, sometimes the sides are just so wonderful.
Oh, yeah, stuffing, mac and cheese, buttery cauliflower.
I love cauliflower.
That was a new one for me. I'd never heard of. Until about, you know, about 7 years ago, I'd never really heard of mac and cheese as being a staple in the Thanksgiving dinner. I'd never heard of that before.
Yeah, there's some people who do. Some people do.
Wow.
Yep.
Really? Oh, wow. Yeah. Definitely a staple right there. And, of course, the yams. And
I forgot to get a yam this year. I'm the only one who eats them.
Yeah, I yam what I am.
Potatoes. And that's all that I am. Sweet potatoes, sweet potato pie, candy yams, pumpkin pie.
Funny how a sweet potato is supposed to be better for diabetics than a regular potato. I believe they have
something in there about the less starch and the sugar ratio is different and some such stuff.
So being the ignoramus that I am, what's the difference between a yam and a sweet potato?
Nothing.
Oh, are they? Okay.
No, they're okay. Different. They are literally different, but
they are different.
But I can barely tell the difference, if anything. I've had them both baked with a little bit of butter.
Mm-hmm.
And them up. Yep. A little bit of butter and just whip them up, you know, skin them out there, and you just scoop out that lovely, soft, mushy delightfulness, and they're wonderful.
I don't whip them up. I like to slice them, you know. They're good and soft, but you can slice them. I like them in little discs, little bite-sized discs.
Mm. Yeah, but unless you have a very, very, very particular palate, there is virtually no difference to it. In my point of view, they're both delish.
Maybe that's why I thought they were the same. I have definitely an uncultured palate. I likes what I likes, but it's not a very cultured palate.
And, you know, some people will have their own ethnic spin. I'm sure there's some people who have kishkas, their turkey, some knish on the side,
Oy.
Someone's out there doing a little kibasa. So we can't have this turkey without some kibasa. We gotta have some kibasa, so we'll put a little kibasa on there, you know?
And I'm making a brisket for Howard.
Oh yeah. You home, Mrs. Bloom. Can I borrow a cup of sugar over here? Because I'm making the brisket. Well, you're making a brisket. I'm sorry I bothered you. I know how hard it is for a brisket over there.
Wasn't that a great character, Wallowitz's mother on Big Bang Theory?
Yes.
One of those great characters you never saw. Like the next door neighbor on Tool, with the Tool guy.
Yeah.
And who was it on Mary Tyler Moore? Yeah, Tool Time. Good Neighbor.
Carmen.
Yeah, this or is Carlton.
Not Carmen. No, Carlton. Carlton the Doorman.
Carlton the Doorman.
And Zachary's wife, she was in a box. What did he call her? My darling or dearest or what? No, he had a nickname for it. I can't remember what it was.
You know, I have to dig it out. One, my brother and I did this one, Greet the People, where I used kind of a Boris Karloff voice, but he was interviewing the world's oldest married couple.
Oh, God.
And, it turns out that actually my wife had died many, many years ago, and I just had her stuffed and sit there at the table.
Yeah.
It's like Roy Rogers did to Trigger and like Dale Evans did to Roy Rogers, you know?
Yes.
So I'll have to find that out.
But what they did to Ted Williams.
Yeah.
Put his head in a bucket.
Put a head on that one, yeah.
Most definitely. Gentlemen, I must be away, but I want to wish you the very best of Thanksgiving. Always a pleasure. I'm thankful for the fact that you let me chime in and have a bit of fun and put a feminine edge on this boys' club.
It wasn't that we let you. It had to be done. It had to
be done. There we go. And all kinds of comedy leftovers for Thanksgiving next weekend. So we hope you'll join us next Saturday.
Yep, that'll be a fun time right here on Eerie House Radio.
So you've
well
got
then.
Your job now. It's that time, you know.
Yes. Oh, yes, indeed. On the Door with a Star, Mr. Durante, you're on.
Good night. Good night. Good night.
Good night.
night. It's time to say goodnight. What more to say but good night?
Nothing.
We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo.
Toodles.
Horrible what we say, and inconvenient.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash. Wherever.